You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to episode 50 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
We're a day late. It's not my fault. It's not Greg's fault. It's not Erica's fault. I'll give you one guess whose fault it is.
Episode 50.
5-0.
Never knew if, we'd make it this far. What a treat.
We're Hawaii.
Hawaii's the best state.
We are at our 50th episode. What do you think, Greg? 50 episodes in. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I mean, I was a little worried going into this week's show because I think we started this about as fast as we have, which is good, you know, after arriving at the studio because you're fired up about not being able to tape on Tuesday night, which was our normal night because the Comedy Central / Viacom building was closed due to, you know, fire and smoke from a nearby Burbank fire, I assume.
But see, I don't know if that's the truth. Like, we got an email yesterday.
It was a Kurt email.
10 a.m.?
Right?
It was like just saying like, hey, building's shut down, but no information. Like, there's smoke in the building. It's shut down. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, is it going to open back up? Like, is it filled with smoke? Like, were you guys trying to have a dance party? I live very close to the building. There was no smoke. Like, I don't know what this, I don't know if the building was on fire or it was like smoke from a fire that set off an alarm. They're like, let's just get out of here. I'm like, well, it's like noon right now. Do you think you can have it like cleared out by 7 p.m. tonight? And they were like, no, absolutely not. You'll have to do it tomorrow.
I assumed that the Burbank fire, which I saw raging on Saturday, I believe it was, when I was on my way back from the big Thomas the Tank Engine event up north of the city.
I know you've been waiting on that.
Yeah, and you know, that fire was not messing around. We drove past it, and it looked like all of Hollywood might be encased in smoke, but maybe not. It's on the other side of the mountain. You know, it sort of made sense. They're trying to be safe. I figure, like, these are things you can't control. As we get older, don't we want to let go of things like that, you know?
If I looked out my window and saw smoke, I'd be like, okay, like, there must be something going on. But there was no, people, everyone just walking around. So it must have been something in the building. No one would tell us what it was. We had to wait hours to find out what was going on. And we planned this. There's a reason we do it on Tuesdays. We got other things going on the rest of the week, so when they move us around, and listen, I understand.
You have shows tonight. We got to get out of here so you can go do some shows.
I have shows tonight. I had a busy day. You know what I mean? It wasn't like this is an ideal for me to be doing this now. But you know, when I'm a little ornery, it's okay. But I would have liked a little more information from the network. Today everything seems fine. Can't even smell smoke. Doesn't even smell like there was smoke. It sounds like they made it up because they wanted to do something else.
Just to keep us out of
here?
I
think they were like scared of the 50. They were scared of 5-0.
Well, it is a big day. You know, you've said on this podcast recently that you saw us going to 100, that was a nice number. That would be a third season, perhaps. But I know you're an emotional guy, and when this was happening yesterday, it sounds like you were having second thoughts of whether we would ever get to that 100.
Here's the deal. We did a first season was 40 episodes. Second season, which we are one third of the way through, is 30 episodes, and then we did one more season that would be 100, and then maybe we keep going. I was annoyed this week about not only getting, you know, pushed a day for whatever the fuck reason, but also a friend of mine was let go from Comedy Central. He was a boss. He was like the head of Comedy Central, a guy named Kent Alterman, who people probably don't know. The behind the scenes guy has been at Comedy Central as long as I have. I've never worked at Comedy Central without Kent being here. And part of the merger, the Viacom, which owns Comedy Central and different things, and CBS have merged, which was news to me when I read about it on Sunday. But, you know, it wasn't a performance thing. It was just like, we've got too many people now. We got to get rid of some of them. And Kent was let go. Here's the thing about Kent. Kent was a great boss. Even I get angry at the network all the time. And Kent was the guy who could chill me out. Like if it was like really bad, they'd be like, talk to Kent. If I was like getting in a fight with someone, they'd be like, let's bring Kent in. And he is literally the only one. There are people here that I like and I'm professional with, but I almost cannot wait until Good Talk season 2 coming in 2020. Wasn't supposed to announce it. I'm doing it.
Oh my God.
Because Kent's not here to stop me. When I'm doing Good Talk season 2 and someone calls and they're like, I get mad at them about something, who are they going to get to fill those shoes? I cannot wait to see who it is. And you know what? I'm gonna have an open mind and say that maybe the guy who's replacing Kent, the guy who is, I don't even know his name.
Like, who is your anger directed at right now, though?
Mergers in general.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm not thrilled about the show business right now with all these mergers. I think they're bad for movies, television, everything. I'm not a fan of Disney Plus. I'm not a fan of the Fox-Disney merger. People are like, oh, the Avengers get to fight the X-Men now. You're going to get way worse movies now. They're going to be way less risky movies. I don't like this Viacom-CBS merger. I think it's going to affect the quality. I think I'm going to be doing Good Talk, and they're going to be like, hey, Anthony, it would really help if we put out some TikToks. Get your TikTok account, and I'm going to fucking lose it.
Just because Kent's gone. Now, Kent has been mentioned on this show, or at least alluded to, kind of as the guy you had to speak with to smooth out some differences largely created from the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
Chair VP.
Junior Vice President.
Related to your last season of Good Talk.
Yes. I name-checked him during the shithoused episode, as I will call it, the one I came in drunk. And we talked. Like, Kent, listen, there's a lot of people at Comedy Central. I like them all. There's no one that I like hate here. It's not like it's nothing gets personal. But Kent was the one who really understood more than anyone else here that he was working with comedians. So even if it was like a real fucking problem and it was like everyone's flipping out, he's like, he still kind of had a smile and knew how to tell a joke and kind of get you to chill out and calm down. And some people just don't understand that they're working with comedians, that he will be sorely missed. He texted me Sunday night to just kind of say, you know, what's up. And, you know, I mean, I guess if you want to talk to someone about getting fired from Comedy Central, I'm the guy. I'm the guy who's going to give you advice.
I met him, too. Do you remember that? We mentioned that on the show, I believe. You introduced me outside after your roast.
The roast battle.
Roast battle.
And how much did he give a fuck?
He did not. He couldn't have, like, cared less that I was there or that you had a podcast or was not aware that you had a podcast. Certainly not aware of me. But it just was very strange because you had just handed me like a huge blunt, and I was about as unsober as I ever am as I was, you know, shaking this man's hand.
Yeah, but at that point, Kent was like, but like when I was working at Comedy Central for a while, when I had my last show.
Sorry, Debbie.
Kent was in kind of like a different position where he was more kind of hands-on creative. And then by the time that you met him, he was like the head of like Comedy Central and like three other networks. You know what I mean? So he like was not doing day-to-day stuff. And he was not let go because of any kind of performance stuff. It was just like when you have a merger, people let go and they let Kent go. So maybe this new guy comes in and is great and he's just as good, if not better, than Kent. He's got some big shoes to fill. And I think just the way that these mergers go, I don't know if I'm even supposed to be saying this, but I don't care.
Well, you weren't supposed to say, yeah, a few different things that you've already said here.
Yeah, that's fine. That's what people listen to the podcast.
I do wonder, like, why, and let's get into, you know, this is the 50th episode. I'm going to throw some questions at you. But why do you take so much joy or energy from kind of poking your superiors, even when they're giving you good news, you know, like renewing your show or anything else? And, like, it seems to be a big part of your life, but more than I realized. Before we did
because
this podcast.
Because it really doesn't matter that I don't announce it on the podcast yet. It's not that big a deal. It's okay. It's not like someone's going to get hurt if you do it.
I mean, in general, though, I think you enjoy pushing the buttons of the people that are above you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, listen, I don't consider myself a podcaster. I don't consider myself a television host. I do both those things. I'm a stand-up comedian. And stand-up comedians act a certain way. And I act that way. It's the reason I became a comic, was to thumb my nose at authority, bite the hand that feeds me, and keep on biting until I get to the fucking shoulder. And then I swallow, because that's how I do. So I'm not happy about it. I'm sad about my friend Kent. I'm sure he's going to land on his feet. He was beloved by comedians. Any comedian who got on Comedy Central, I'm sure anyone who didn't get on the network, he fucking hated him. But the people he worked with loved him. He was the one executive who would admit if he was wrong about a joke. I'll tell this story. This is one of my favorite Kent stories. When I was on the Joe Selnick Offensive, there was a story. There was a joke that a woman who was on The Bachelorette, was on like an old Bachelorette, hanged herself. And I was like, finally, one of those dumb bitches learned how to tie the knot. And this woman from Standards and Practices was like, absolutely not. You're making fun of someone who killed themselves. So we're like, we're making fun of a Bachelorette contestant. Yeah, it's bad, but like, you get it. And it was like, it was really a fight. We're like, you cannot do this. And we're like, we love this joke so much that I'm like, I'm going to call Kent. And I call Kent and I explain it to him. He's like, that's really funny. Let me see what I can do. And I don't know if he'll even be happy that I'm telling this, because but it's so funny. And again, he's been fired. But he calls, he tells me, and I don't know if he actually did this or he's just telling me this, but he calls me back and he says, you're good to tell the joke. And I'm like, what did you say to her? And I said, she answered the phone and I said, why are you being such a dumb bitch? And she laughed and we got to do the joke on the air that Kent would fight for jokes like that. And I don't know what things are going to look like moving forward. I'm unsure. And listen, you sign up for something and then it changes and that always is going to chafe, if you will.
It's too bad. Comedy Central, you know, a jewel in the Viacom business. Ratings skyrocketing. We're, you know, the bedrock of their podcast network. It's all happening.
That's right. You got Your Two Dads. You know what I mean? You got South Park. You got The Daily Show. You got Spade. South Park just got sold for like $1 billion to like HBO Max. Like, Comedy Central is making money. They're doing well. And maybe nothing. Maybe nothing changes. Maybe I don't even notice this. But I'm not thrilled.
50 episodes deep. Do you think we're better friends now, or when we started the Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project?
RJVP.
Which is not included in the 50. That was the one we did at the NFL, which you should still check out if you haven't. Or were we better friends as sophomores in college or as 24-year-old underemployed roommates in Los Angeles?
I'll take you step by step. It's funny. I was on a podcast called Whiskey Ginger with my friend Andrew Santino. I've been doing a lot of podcasts where people make me drive to their house and then put me on camera without telling me that's what it's going to be. And Andrew Santino was one of those I did last week. And he asked me the same thing. He was asking about the podcast, and he was like, are you better friends now or when you were in college? And I was
about
like,
us?
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
And I was like, I think that we're...
He mentioned me?
We're probably closer now.
Just mentioned the pod. Anthony always forgets.
It's been like 20 years. But I think like back in college, we didn't have any other care. You know what I mean? We hung out way more. And now you have a wife and kids. You know what I mean? I have a career that like things get in between. But like, and he was asking me, he was like, if you met him today, would you guys be friends? If you just like met randomly. And I was like, I think we would. But it's like the point is moot because we went to war together. You know what I mean?
Right.
4 years in New Orleans, like we're bonded in a way that I think our friendship has evolved. I don't know if it's better. We see each other less now than we did in college, but I think we are closer. I mean, I definitely don't have a lot of close friends, and I consider you probably the closest.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah, you used to always say best friend when I would say friend. You don't do that anymore, so I don't know if that's, you know, a troubling, you know, red flag or anything. But no, I would say like anything. Yes, we'd be friends if we met now. But I mean, how many truly good new friends have I made in the last 15 years? Not that many, because you have work and, in my case, family taking up almost all the rest of your time. And like a lot of things getting older, I think our friendship's better and it's more evolved, as you said, or mature. But you're not spending like, yeah, it's not as much time and it's not as like...
But I don't think we need
like
to
delirious.
Spend.
No, yeah. No. This is. I mean, this has been. I think you get sick of me by the end of these seasons. This is, we're seeing each other a lot more with this.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Although it's, I wouldn't say that would be the case. It. This is a different environment. Like when we hang out, it's still different. Like, do you think we speak differently on the podcast than we do in real life?
Not really.
See,
I mean, and listen,
I think you do still a little.
I also think we're 40 years old. You know what I mean? We're not going to be like raging. It's not like, oh, we didn't go out all, we didn't go out till 6 a.m. But like, I don't do that anymore. I don't think that's like our friendship has gotten worse.
Right. Like, I'm not as like mercilessly, you know, cruel to the people around me with jokes, but you've still kept that going like as we were back then.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, I've gotten better at it. But I'm also famous for it, and it's how right. I make my living.
And I don't think of it as cruel. I think of it as a sign of endearment. Like, that's one thing I've realized as I get older, and yeah, Emeka's helped me with this, that not everyone takes you know, making fun of them or making jokes as like a sign of endearment.
Of course.
They just take offense and take it personally.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like you.
I've burned so many bridges.
Nobody likes you.
I've burned so many bridges. And if they took a poll and it was like 0% of people like Anthony, I'd be like, I've earned it. I can't help myself. It's why I became a successful stand-up comedian. And I think I probably, if I was a lawyer, I'd just be like the biggest jerk in the firm. You know what I mean? But as a comedian, some people get it, some people don't.
I recently got the latest check from JesselCorp. You know, for new listeners, I'm, you know, officially an employee of Anthony's production company because
corporation.
That was the easiest way to kind of, you know, settle how we were going to do this thing. Do you, you know, still see me as a friend or just like someone on the payroll like the rest of your family?
I see you still as a friend, but I see your family as like my responsibility. Do you know what I mean? I feel like if we didn't do a season 3, if I was just like, you know what? Nope. I wouldn't be able to look your kids in the eye.
I mean?
When they were like, Anthony, I'm hungry. I'd be like, I'm so sorry, but I didn't want to do a third season. You know what I mean? They're just like, Anthony, I want to go to college one day. I'd be like, well, you better grow 3 feet and learn how to shoot a 3 because you ain't going to school. On podcast money.
No, my kids aren't going to be tall. I was mostly saying that just to see your, you know, to try to get a reaction about your family being on your payroll, but I guess that's just accepted.
My family's not on my payroll.
So it slipped right by you.
You're the only employee of JesselCorp.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, am I an employee? I guess I am.
I mean, I'm technically an employee.
Mm.
It's my corporation.
Are you ever going to write a book? Now I'm just throwing questions at you. I'm curious about. Because you would write a good book. That used to be a dream of yours.
It's funny. Talking about like these mergers and like things getting worse, I think TV's getting worse. I think movies are going to get worse. That I really have been reading more and more. That I could see myself doing one day. I think, honestly, and I've answered this 100 times.
I just texted you that, didn't I? I was like, will you write a book about your life? I feel like I literally texted you that last week.
I have blocked your number.
Okay.
But I... I think I'll eventually write like my comedian book. You know what I mean? That fucking thing you'll see in airports, like how to be a badass and get away with it, whatever the fuck title they make me use to sell it. But I'd also like to. Write
I really can't
else.
See you writing that book. Ultimately, that's not going to happen. Not with that version of it.
When I'm like 50, they'll be like, someone will come to me and be like, here's what we can sell. You know, I'll be like a brand. Let's be like, or like Jeff Ross had a book like How to Roast, you know, without making people mad at you kind of thing. You know what I mean? I'd do like one of those. That's like very easy to do. But I would like to write a piece of fiction at some point if I thought it could be good, you know? Like I'm reading Joan Didion. I'm just like, Jesus Christ, she's so much better than every other writer out there. It's unbelievable like how fast you can read these books that
Yeah, you're comparing. Are you trying to compare yourself to her, or
I'm saying that I read a lot of great literature, and I would not want to put out something that was bad, and I fear that it would be bad.
Yeah,
and I think that
Joan Didion might be like the greatest, though. I mean,
of course,
I feel like I don't even know if we've recommended her, which is stupid because she like the White Album and Slouching to Bethlehem. Those are, I mean, to Did I get that right?
Slouching towards Bethlehem.
Towards Bethlehem. Are like, I agree. Not enough people our age have read those books, and those are all timers.
Yeah. But the more I read, the more I think I will. Do you think you'll ever write a book?
No.
I don't think I have the balls for a football book?
I used to think I would write a fantasy football book, and I would have pretty soon if I had stayed in fantasy football, just because that would have been easy to pull off, and I obviously would have been confident I could write a good one. But now that I'm not, I don't know.
I have too much
respect for it.
I could see you being like a Michael Wilbon type, though, who like ghost writes books. You know what I mean? Like Michael Irvin wants to write a book. Wants to write his autobiography. He sits down with you.
You're always so bad.
Like Wilbon's written a couple Barkley books, you know, a couple Charles Barkley's books, and he admits he's a ghostwriter on these things. I think he's probably even on the cover. But I could see you doing.
I'm not like a journalist though. I would write it from my own. If there was anything, yes, it would be something football related, but it would be my own voice or opinions or whatever. Final question for you: if you had to choose one of the following two people to be dead next week, let's say, John Mulaney or Keanu Reeves. Now, you know Mulaney personally.
I got to kill Keanu. And it's not even a tough decision. Mulaney is a friend of mine, someone I've known for as long as I've been doing comedy, I believe. And I've never met Keanu Reeves. You know what I mean? That's what I'm basing this on. That I could not.
But you really love John Wick 4, John Wick 5, John Wick 6. Who knows?
These movies don't exist. 3 was the last one. Yeah, of course I love
exactly.
them. Exactly. But he's also a
that's
stranger.
What you're losing.
And I hear great things about him everywhere he goes. Like I've never heard a bad Keanu Reeves story. But I don't know him, so I'm gonna pick the guy that I know to live. I'm not gonna go to his funeral and tell Anna Marie that sorry I had to kill him. But I really got to see John Wick 4.
All right, that's
I can't believe that was your last question.
That's JRVP at 50.
Let me see if I have any questions for you at 50. The only one I wrote down is, do you think this podcast has made us closer friends?
That's cute. You guys both wrote down the same question.
Yeah,
I would say definitely, because A, it's just a different type of relationship, you know, to be doing a show together at all, to be involved in some sort of business. It does change things that it's a job. And more to the point, I'm seeing you every week during the NFL season, which would never fucking happen.
True. I mean, it does make time during the football season that we have to hang out. But, I mean, I think the way to sing your praises the most is I do not like people. I do not like them. I can be friends with someone for like a month, and then I gotta go.
Right, like Eric was in your top five for a while.
Gone.
What?
Bottom five.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
It plummeted. I just don't get along. That you are like, and it's like, oh, you guys went to college together. Like, I don't talk to anyone I went to college with. I don't except for our fraternity brothers. Like, I don't know his last name, and even those guys, I'm just like, I'll see a picture of one someone and be like, holy shit, what happened to him? And that's all my interaction.
What's up, Connor? What's up, Mercado?
I know they all listen to this. We text once a year. but you have stood the test of time. I'll probably whisper your name on my deathbed. I'll be like, where's Greg? Is Greg here? And they'll be like, yeah, your family's here too. And I'll just be like, tell Greg to tell them to leave. And let's get fucked up. Now it's time for Did We Get Any Notes? Listen, I'm going to take this as a note. We talked about Kent Alterman being let go from his position. No one asked me. No one was like, hey, Anthony, you cool with this? So I take it as a note from CBS and Viacom. They're merging, and they're trying to send us a message. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm included in this. You thought they should have emailed us?
No, just me.
Okay.
But I feel like I woke up in bed, and I was like, did I pee the bed? And I was like, it's a horse's head. You know what I mean? From the movie, I'm looking at Erica.
The Godfather?
Yes.
Okay.
For a second, I was like, oh my God, she's not going to know this.
No,
no one asked me that. I think this is a note. I think it's like a note like, be careful where you tread, which is kind of why I'm already got my cankles up. What do you call it?
Your cankles.
Your back is bowed.
I'm already like
you're bowed up.
I'm already
cankles are legs that are so fat that
cackles up.
You don't have ankles.
You get your what up? You get
your back up.
No.
So you're saying like okay, Viacom CBS merger. You know, item number one, like what are we going to do about the streaming service? Item number two, how do we send a message to Jeselnik?
Mm-hmm.
Let's change the Comedy Central hierarchy.
How do we control him? You know
right.
what I mean? Let's get rid of the person he liked the most at the network and then see what happens there. You know what I mean? Start to eliminate his friends one by one. So I know the Comedy Central executives listening to this. If I were you, I'd be afraid. I'd be afraid they're going to keep on sending messages. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get it. They're going to be like, oh, we thought he was going to be cute and announce Good Talk Season 2 way too early. You know what? We're going to fire, I'm going to throw out a random name, Raphael. Raphael's gone.
But what it could be a great news for Jeselnik enemies in the company. They could suddenly be stars. I mean, they might be excited. I don't know if there are those, you know, at Comedy Central, but they're going to be angling.
I certainly have enemies at the company, and I welcome the challenge. If you see a sliver of light and you're like, I'm going to run towards it and I'm going to finally get rid of Jeselnik at this company, I'm talking to you, Jordy, then I welcome the challenge, all right? I'm ready. I got my head on a swivel, all right? And I'll beat you to death with that horse's head that I found in my bed. I keep it as a reminder. And also, we got a note that Erica should talk less. And that was, did we get any notes? Now, while Erica has been banned from reading ads. Since Erica's been banned from reading advertising from now on, I guess it's just not marketable. I mean, this wasn't a note that came from me. This was from the advertisers themselves. I don't think it was a network note. I think it was advertisers being like, hey, let's have the guys with their name in the podcast do it. Which, you know, it's not like Erica was like, I love reading ads. Let me do them. I was just like, oh, well, let Erica do this.
I have a great voice.
You do. It makes up for a lot. And now, to show you what it makes up for, let's take it down to Erica's corner. Erica Tamposi, our producer. She works for the NFL Network. She produces. She does like some fantasy football stuff, where she wears sunglasses. I don't know. I see it on my Twitter feed.
Nice.
But we like her, and we enjoy having her on the podcast. In fact, if they try to get rid of Erica and Kent, I don't know if we have a podcast. I don't know. Actually, I forgot about Coach T. We'd be cool.
Yeah, Coach T was good. People loved that episode.
But we like to give Erica just a little bit of time, a non-advertising time, to carve out for herself to ask us a question. Maybe it's like something she wants to know. Maybe it's a viewer or listener email. Maybe it's something she saw on Twitter. And sometimes it's a question, sometimes it's a statement. But let's see what you got. Sometimes it's a game.
I got a fan email today, and I'm just going to read it and then shut the fuck up for you. Last season, you mentioned.
You waited for me to protest.
Right,
didn't you?
Yeah, she was waiting for us to be like, oh, no, it's fine, but no.
Last season, you mentioned hashtag well established bathroom protocols, and since then, I've been nervous each time I use a public restroom. My confidence has been shattered. Now, for example, I'm not sure who gets to use the low urinal and how long you're supposed to pretend to wash your hands. What exactly were you referring to? Thanks in advance. Tired of embarrassing myself, I think. Jason B. P.S. The young woman who JRVP'd Greg at the pool is my daughter. She was super proud of you bringing it up. Thanks.
First of all, I want to say that I was right. Greg was a little worried about talking about the daughter saying JRVP, that he was being insulting in some way or that I was being insulting. And I said, no, this is what we're saying is nice and flattering and no one will be offended. This is the girl's father telling us that he loved it and she loved it. So I was right about that. I don't remember talking about bathroom protocols, but I know that, like, let's say you're at a sporting event, you know what I mean? And you walk into the bathroom and it's like, I guess it's different for guys and girls. Never been in a woman's restroom, but you go in and you just kind of like follow the line. You know what I mean? Like, if there's a little urinal there, you're allowed to use that. You know, it's not like just for little kids. You can use the handicap stall.
Sure.
You got to do a beeline and you got to do your business and get out. But everyone is just trying to get in and out at a sporting event. If you just walk into a bathroom and there's one other guy there, you do not talk.
Yes.
You urinate.
You don't talk, period. Even at work, if it's people that you know, I don't like it happens. I don't like it.
Maybe like a
at a sporting, sure. Or just, you could talk, but it's like, why start a conversation? Because then one person's going to be leaving before the other. And then what, do you have to like kind of hang back a few extra seconds to, you know, talk to, you know, Mark Brady about whether we're going to do the, you know, pre-tape for a sponsorship? It's like, no, that's ridiculous. There's a lot of rules. Well, I think more about which urinal should you stand in. Like, if there's three, generally stand at the far urinal to start.
But if there are dividers between the urinals, it doesn't matter. You can go to whatever's most convenient, go to the closest one.
It depends. If there's a kid's one, you try to leave that open. If one's kind of near the
you try
to leave it open in case a kid comes.
But not
if it's the last one, but if there's 40 available.
But how long are you gonna be
available?
There? Could you imagine like using the little one and then turning around and seeing like 100 kids just like dying to pee, just like furious at you? Like, no, like the little urinal is there for no reason.
As someone who's taken my son and he's right at the, you know, age he's using the little urinal, I've never seen an adult using one where he really needed it, but sometimes there's another little kid using one, and I'm like, oh, that little jerk.
If you go,
you know,
in,
I'm annoyed. I have to wait, or worse, you know, hold him up while he pees, which is a ridiculous thing to be doing.
Of course, you don't want to hold up.
You take him to the toilet.
But if you're in line and you see someone with a kid, you let them go and take that urine. You know what I mean? If they come in behind you, what are you going to do? You're not going to like leave that urinal open just in case a kid comes.
Sure.
It's like the handicap stall. Like, people are like, you got to leave it open. No, you don't. You know what I mean? You don't want to sit in there all day long in case a handicapped person comes. But you're allowed to just do your business and get out. And as far as washing hands goes, once you become famous, you have to wash your hands. People will tweet if you do not. They'll be like, oh, saw Anthony at the airport. He washed his hands after he peed. And it's like, yeah, I saw you checking me out, and so I went and washed my hands because I knew you were going to tweet about it.
I mean, you should anyways, because it's like, not because you need to in that moment, but just, you know, who knows what you've been doing the rest of the day. It's a good, you know, it's a good restart.
I wash my hands several times a day. I'm not like going to wash them until they bleed. So if I urinate and I've washed my hands in the last hour, I'm probably just going to wet them. But there have been times that I've like, oh, I got some drip on my hands. I'm definitely washing them. But you don't have to wash your hands after you pee every time.
What?
Yeah. Not every time.
You're like holding your dong.
Yeah.
You should, ew.
What do you think? But like,
there is something to, well, it's just, you know, another body part, you know.
Yeah.
It's great.
What do you think the dong does all day? You know what I mean? You think it's just like spraying out shit and like fucking like.
You might.
Like, it's not like a dog.
It also matters which urinal you take, you know, depending on if people are in the stalls, you know, you try to avoid. Or if there's, I'm annoyed if someone takes the middle of the three, because then it's like you should have taken the end so that the other person could be on the end. You got to think of that and try to go every other if you can.
I don't worry about that because I stare straight ahead.
Sure,
you know,
but it's just like a natural,
straight ahead.
It's just a natural thing, you know, to think about.
I think if I'm standing next to somebody and they can't pee because they're like, oh, the guy stood next to me, that's on you. All right, that's on how you were raised. I don't care about that.
That's true.
But you
those
do
people,
stare,
if there are people like
you do
that,
stare straight ahead.
Grow up, Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how old are you?
Who was it? There was an interview recently with Michael.
There are some adults like that. It's like, what is wrong with you,
Michael Caine?
Well, who did that to you?
Michael Caine said when he first got famous, he met John Wayne, and John Wayne said, "Let me give you a piece of advice. You're famous now." And he goes, "What is it?" And he goes, "Throw away all your suede shoes." And he's like, "What? Why?" And he goes, "Because you're gonna be out of the bathroom. You're gonna be urinating, and the guy next to you is gonna recognize you. He's gonna be shocked. He's gonna turn around. He's gonna pee on your shoes." He says it's gonna happen. And Michael Caine said he gave away all his suede shoes to his less famous friends, and that was the best advice he'd ever gotten. So yeah.
Have you ever been peed on?
That was the best advice he ever got. Michael Caine's gone through his 70 years of life. Nothing's been more useful than saving that one pair of suede shoes.
He had a bunch of them. He had several pairs.
I mean, is he just getting peed on all over the place?
I don't think he probably doesn't use public bathrooms anymore. You know, I bet he's cool. I bet if he did, he'd be fine with it. He'd be like, you know what? Howdy, partner. That's the John Wayne way. Bathroom bathroom etiquette. I can't believe we just discussed that for so long.
That was a long urinal convo. I think there's a lot to it.
I think there was one time you were telling this story too. Like, didn't some fan come into you at a bathroom and he was like coughing a ton too? Wasn't there? There might have been some story that one of you
there
guys
was a
were
guy,
telling.
Occasionally, I have to go to a comedy club where, and I've tried to eliminate these as I go and like remember where they are. But like, let's say, okay, Denver Comedy Works is one of my favorite comedy clubs in the world. It may be possibly my favorite, but they don't have a bathroom for the comics in the green room. So I have to walk to and use the bathroom, same bathroom as everyone else. And it fucking sucks because I do not want to talk to someone in the bathroom. I don't want to shake your hand or sign something or take a picture or have you tell me a joke. Like, I had a guy once in like Jersey, like pretend like his like penis was so big that he could like barely lift it. And I was just like, And then he tweeted like, just laughed at my joke in the bathroom. Huh? And I was just like, oh, I'm never laughing at anyone in the bathroom again. So now literally I have security escort me to the bathroom, make sure no one's in there like the fucking Secret Service. I go and pee as fast as I can, wash my hands, and then get back to the green room.
Yeah, we had a show in London doing our podcast, and you know, it was a couple hundred people, and it had been advertised as basically afterwards we were just going to like hang out and meet all the people and, you know, drink for a couple hours. And, you know, I had to use the bathroom right after the
co-ed.
Show. And I was, and they were, it was a co-ed bathroom like a lot of the ones are in the UK where, you know, the stall, it's co-ed, but then you wash together. And it was a very strange sensation. I don't know.
It's awful. It's awful. You don't want to be, because you're just, you're extremely vulnerable. And people were just like, I guess I'm going to talk
that
to him. Like,
so
I'm sitting
weird.
Right next to the guy.
I was like, miss, get out of here.
Especially
please.
For. I walked out of a stall and some guy was like washing his hands right there and he was like, oh, Erica. And I like was like, oh my God, this is the weirdest thing.
Yeah. It's a vulnerable position you don't want to be in, that I think every venue should have separate bathrooms for me. And that was Erica's Corner. Shining on you, Crazy Diamond. And now it's time for
ad copy.
All right. We're going to, now that Erica's been eliminated from the ads, I'm going to read them. Greg's going to read them. I'm going to go first. This is a policy genius. It's really appropriate that I'm reading this as the only homeowner here on set. If you're a homeowner, you know how tough it is to find the right home insurance coverage. It really is. It's a pain in the ass. Even if your rates have crept up over the years, the idea of replacing your policy can seem exhausting. You don't want to get into this. You don't want to deal with this stuff. The insurance experts at Policy Genius don't think that getting the best home insurance should be complicated. That's why they've reimagined the entire process. Start by answering a few quick questions so the team can get to know you and your property. Then Policy Genius will help you compare your policy against more than 10 insurance companies to make sure that you're getting the best home insurance coverage at the best possible price. If they're not the best, they'll tell you who is the best and you can go to them. They just make it easy. And if you're already paying your best rate, the Policy Genius team will reshop your policy for you every year to make sure it stays that way. I don't know what that means, but they do it. Bundling home and auto, Policy Genius does that too. Can save you an average of $690 per year on home and auto insurance. And that's a lot of money to some people. Whether you need home insurance for a new place or just want to reshop your current policy, head to policygenius.com today. You can get started on your smartphone right now. Policy Genius, the easy way to compare and buy home insurance.
Damn.
And that was
ad copy.
See how I did business?
I was reading some nominees for some podcast awards. There's a variety of these around. And one of the categories, which was announced this week, was Best Ad Read.
I saw that too.
And it's like, it's too late to enter old Jeselnik and Policy Genius into the mix.
I hope that we get nominated for an award one day so we can not show up. Like, that would be my favorite thing, would be nominated for a podcast award. Like, best podcast of all time. Lifetime achievement. And just tell them we're going.
I think we'd be up for it.
Tell them we're going and then just not show up. Send someone who looks like you. You know what I mean? Send the kid. Send Ellis up there to the podium and say that we're not there because of the way the treatment of Native Americans in this country.
People
That's
forget.
A callback. Who's that a callback to? Who's that a reference to? Who won? Who won an Oscar and sent a Native American up there? Anybody?
I stopped watching the Oscars.
Marlon Brando. It was before we were born. Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Very history. Early on. It was a historic moment.
Our first headline this week is a story in your world, Anthony. Netflix has pulled the Christian comedian John Christ's stand-up special from its release calendar after he was accused of sexual misconduct by multiple women. Chris's special, I Ain't Praying for That, was set to debut on Thanksgiving.
So here's the good news about this, is that if you're a Christian and you were really excited for John Chris's new special, I Ain't Praying for That, and it's not coming out on Thanksgiving, it's probably not coming out ever, just go and watch Thoughts and Prayers. It's basically the same thing. Now, I tweeted about this. I love when comics get into trouble, as I've said many times. I love it. I don't know this guy. I've never met him. We do not run in the same circles. And I said, like, I never thought I'd laugh at a Christian comedian, but here we are. And some people took that to mean they don't understand what Christian comedian means. I've got friends who are comedians who are hilarious and good friends of mine of all different religions. Mormon, Muslim, Christian, Catholic, Baptist, all kinds of different things. There might be a Jewish comic out there. I'm not sure. But when I say a Christian comedian, I'm not saying a comedian who is Christian. I don't care what your religion is.
Right, and some of these comedians who are your friends are, I would say, you know, their religion is very important to them.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Not, they don't wear it on the sleeve, but it's a part of their life, and that's fine. But being a Christian comic means that not only do you only perform to Christian audiences, but audiences that like that sort of awful shit. Like, my dad goes to church 5 days a week.
Really?
Dad, oh, yeah. My dad is Catholic as all get out. My dad is more Catholic than the Virgin Mary. Rest in peace, Virgin Mary. My dad is so Catholic. But if I was like, Dad, do you want to go see Christian comic John Crist? Do you want to go watch the special, I Ain't Praying for That? My dad would go fucking crazy. He'd be so angry. Like, it's the worst stuff ever. You're just joking about Christianity the whole time and towing this moral line that is – and I think the comics who do it almost – and there might be an example of someone – and I don't know any Christian comedians. But from what I know of my 18 years in doing stand-up, that nobody wants to do this. They do it because it's easy, it's safe. All you have to be is clean and know a little bit about the Bible. And these people who do not get any entertainment whatsoever because they get offended by everything that's non-Christian, like this stuff, that it is just purely awful. And this guy, honestly, I watched like a video. It wasn't bad. He seems like he's probably one of the better versions of this. But he also sounds like a total scumbag. And that's gonna get you. That's gonna get you kicked out of the Christian comedy scene. But I guarantee you, there's so many people being like, "Oh, forgive him, forgive him." I guarantee you, his next special is called like "God Forgives" or like or something like that. And he just talks about forgiveness, and he will be just as popular as he was before.
Right. Like, if you can't trust people, you know, who are using God to make a ton of money, you know, who can you trust?
Yeah. If you can't,
it's like, hey, here's some God. I'm gonna use that to get, what does he have, 100,000 subscribers of his YouTube channel, over a million Instagram followers, 100 million. I mean, it's insane how much he, you know, they're milking it to make cash. Yeah. As God would want you to.
Yeah, and he performs at churches. Imagine how bad your comedy has to be that you perform in a church. I performed in a church once at a college and just tore God a new one. they were not happy with me.
I did find it funny. I mean, it's not funny, but sad. Some of the things he was accused of him. You know, by people.
He didn't assault anyone. What he did was he used his, like, Christianity to mask his tendencies and took advantage of some girls, slept with some women, hooked up with some women who were like, oh, I thought you were just, like, a true Christian and you acted like I would act.
Right, but some of them, you know, one of the allegations was that he essentially, like, traded free tickets to his show. You know, he used that as a bribe for sexual things, which is like, comedians giving free tickets to a show seems like.
He'd be like, do you want a ticket? And they'd be like, oh, I'd love one. Thank you. And he'd be like, come to my room and get it. And they'd be like, I don't want to go to your room. And he'd be like, why are you talking to me? You just wanted me for a free ticket. Like, he was manipulative and a gaslighter a little bit.
Creep.
I'm glad that he got found out. And the reporting, the article, I was in like I forget what it's called.
It was it is in a Christian.
It was a Christian newspaper.
Charisma, was the publication.
The name of it. I wrote the guy. I wrote the editor who wrote the article, and I was like, this was actually incredibly well written for what it was, for taking down a comedian. Sometimes they mess it up. I remember the T.J. Miller article. The reporter
the
acted
one?
Like it was like no the. There was a T.J. Miller sexual assault article years ago where the guy basically took – like the journalist acted like it was like a personal highlight for him to be able to break the story. And it's like you should not be happy about this. You know what I mean? Like there are ways to do it. And this guy and his team knocked it out of the park that I wrote him and said congrats.
It's like when Adam Schefter once, the NFL reporter who's awesome, once got into a little bit of trouble of fist bumping the Sports Center anchor that he was doing the show with on the air because he broke a big news of a coach getting fired. So he was just like, you know, and it was like celebrating breaking the news that, you know, all these people lost their jobs.
Yeah. You're going to get, some blowback for that. I thought it was fun. Like on Twitter, like people would get mad at me about the tweet, and it was clear that they were like Christians who were big fans of him and forgave him immediately. Not thinking about the victims at all. Like we're Christians. We forgive this thing that we like. That it was just there, and they are Christians are notoriously bad at insults. So I'm just like looking through this Twitter feed of people being of people's terrible Christian insults.
Well, maybe they will get that special eventually if they are praying for it.
Listen, you don't need nothing special about praying. You got thoughts and prayers, and that's all you need to get into heaven. This next one's a great story, and we got some football in the podcast.
Yeah, football news was asked for, and Anthony personally requested this story that I missed while I was taping my other podcast I do around the NFL. Check that out, too. During Sunday Night Football last week, Chris Collinsworth told a very sweet story about how Dak Prescott got his mom a house, and they were talking about Dak Prescott, who is the Dallas quarterback, and he has his contract situation pending, but he has a lot of sponsorships because he's very popular. And, you know, Collinsworth said how Prescott was so happy that he used that sponsorship money to pay for a house for his mom. Unfortunately, his mother, Peggy, had passed away of colon cancer at the age of 52 in 2013.
But here's what's funny about this, all right, is that Collinsworth, when he's telling the original story, is like, what such a great guy, bought his mom a house, loves his mom, was just talking the other day, he says the mom loves that. Like, he's like so excited to be telling this like feel-good story. And then they come back from commercial, and he's like, I've known Dak for years. I was at his mom's funeral. He didn't say that, but he was like, I know. I made him.
He said we've talked about her many, many times, yes. And of course I knew this. Yes.
He knew that she passed away. And so for him to go from like, what a great guy, doing it all for his mom, to being like, she's been dead for 6 years, was very, very funny to me. Because Chris Collinsworth is not the kind of person who makes mistakes, I would say.
He's awesome.
And also he is like, I would believe he's Christian. He acts like a moral guy. That this happening to him is especially funny to me.
Yeah.
It's not like he's like a senile old guy who's like, he's not Brent Musburger.
No, he delivered the apology. I hadn't even heard of this story until you sent it to me, but I did watch the apology, and it was very heartfelt. He meant to say that, you know, Dak said all he ever wanted to do was take care of his mother. And, yeah, for some reason, totally blew it. But, you know, you've been in front of a microphone. Things get tricky.
Of course. And like, no one's blaming him for this. It's just funny that he has to walk back something so positive in such a completely negative way. It would be like being like, Erica, listen, like, you know, it's 50 episodes in, I got you a puppy. And you're like, you got me a puppy? And I'm like, it's in this box. Oh. And you open the box, and it's a dead puppy. It's been dead for 6 years. And I'm like, I knew it was dead.
It died of colon cancer
6 years ago. I don't know
why
I gave it to you. I didn't mean to. Of course I knew the puppy was dead and that you hate dead puppies. But I think he had the best intentions, and that's why this is such a hilarious story.
I always have a soft spot in my heart for Chris Collinsworth because he helped me out on the first video show I ever did, which was called the NBC Fantasy Fix back in like 2006. It was a Colin Webb show, and he was nice enough to record a question every week that me and the other host, Tiffany Simons, would answer. And it was my favorite part of the week because it was just like seeing him on video looking at a card and be like, all right, Greg, who would you start this week, Priest, Holmes, or Le'Veon Bell? And well, what a nice guy.
Well, I'm going to stop everything right now. That is the worst Chris Collinsworth impression.
I don't even know what that
is. I've ever heard my life.
Can you try
that? That sounded like Fat Albert doing an impression of Chris Collinsworth. that was terrible. You know, you actually got
it really cracked me up that he was nice enough. Most people in his position would not bother to do that, but he was just doing it out of the kindness.
Well, I was once
heart.
On a flight. I was performing a show in Cincinnati. And Chris Collinsworth and I were on the same flight. We're both in first class. And he's sitting next to some guy who like desperately wants to talk to him about football. And Chris is like watching Mr. Collinsworth. Is watching video. And he's got like the headphones on. Whenever he takes it off to go to the bathroom, the guy like talk. And Chris is very nice, but like clearly just doesn't want to talk. And then we get off the plane. And we're kind of ignoring each other. But then we walk out of the airport. And there's two cars waiting. One for Chris Collinsworth and one for me. And he's kind of looking at me like, who's this guy? You know what I mean? And I just like completely ignored him. I could have been like, hey, what's up, man? But I was like, I'm not going to risk it. I can't lose if I just get in the car.
He's not going to mind that.
And drive away. Yeah, he seemed cool. I used to not like him because on Inside the NFL,
yeah,
that was on HBO. He was a big part of that show. And then whenever they were doing predictions for a game that he was calling,
he wouldn't do it.
They would go like, and Chris is recusing himself, and he would have the most self-satisfied smile. He would like lean back in his chair like, that's right, I can't tell you who's going to win because that wouldn't be fair to both teams. And I was just like, who the fuck do you think you are? But then he told me that of all the people you've worked for, that he's the only one who was a moral human being.
He has a great reputation. Of everyone that's worked for him, I used to work at NBC, everyone has a million great Chris Collinsworth
stories. Who's the guy that everyone hates so much? He pretty much just retired, kind of. Bob Costas. Everyone's got a story about Bob Costas being like the biggest asshole, and you never hear that stuff about Collinsworth. So good on you, Chris. I mean, not for the Dak thing, but I think Dak's mom is looking down from heaven in the house that Dak bought her in the clouds and forgives you, as any good Christian should do, unless you're a comedian.
Ooh, that was funky.
And now it's time for
Ad Copy.
Erica, not to say anything.
Hiring can be a slow process, Anthony. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan... Miskowitz, are you sure you're happy that you picked me to do it? Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. What did he do? He switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed how quickly he got his great candidates, how quickly he got them. They applied. This is a true testimonial by someone who has used ZipRecruiter. He also used their candidate rating to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. I feel like ZipRecruiter, you know, they spread it out in terms of the podcast game. This is kind of a rite of passage, getting a ZipRecruiter read. And I don't think I'm ranking relatively high compared to many of the ones I've heard. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/vanity. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/VANITY. ZipRecruiter.com/vanity. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who listen to our show are bosses. Our CEOs, you know, own their own company. And you look for people. You don't want to put an ad in the classifieds. You don't have to hire your brother-in-law. You know what I mean? Go to ZipRecruiter, okay? It just takes out the chaff. You know what I mean? And then you just get the best people coming to you. You don't look at 100 resumes. You want to look at 3, okay?
It's a way of showing this new Viacom boss the type of listeners that we have.
Mm-hmm.
They don't respect us. They're trying to send a message. Now it's time for us to send a message.
This is the last time I let you read a whole ad by yourself, because I had to jump in, and then you like kind of brought it back around. Like, I don't know how you lost confidence in yourself halfway through the read.
I didn't lose confidence in myself.
To,
it was fine.
To say it out loud.
It was a joke, you know. It was a self-effacing joke.
You know what? If I was hiring a co-host through ZipRecruiter and I saw your resume, I'd be like, this guy, I don't know if he can do it. I would hire Chris Collinsworth. And that was...
ad copy.
All right, let's just go right to our final headline.
A very highly anticipated headline.
Yeah. This is one of the first that we had already chosen, but we were getting tweets from people around the world that wanted our take on it.
I wanted to be like, we got this. Like, you think we missed this?
Right.
Like,
somebody, we had it days ago.
There was a guy a couple weeks ago who like tweeted like at JRVP, like, look at this story in the New York Times. And then we talked about it, and he was like, I didn't get a shout out for showing you that story. It was in the New York Times. I have a subscription. You think I missed it? You think I just like, I only know about stories that my followers send to me? Like, you're not getting a shout out.
No, this one was sent to me from Emeka before the news report was even up. It was the little teaser saying, coming up tonight, you know, on NBC LA, a woman's life was changed forever when a homeless man dumped an entire bucket of hot diarrhea on her while she was getting into her car.
This is what makes the story great.
Anthony's dancing.
Just like, not just diarrhea. That's what, like, you, homeless guy threw some diarrhea on you. Welcome to New York. Hot diarrhea. Hot diarrhea. You're like, wait, I got questions. I got to read some more. And then there's like a follow up article where she's like, it was like a month's worth. She's. How do you get a month's worth of diarrhea heated up? You know what I mean? In a bucket. He's planning this for a while. Imagine when he was like, finally, like, today's the day. Like, did he have a line on the bucket? That he was like, once I get here.
Well, how do the paramedics who suggested to the woman that it looked like he had been saving it up for a month, how are they so confident in their ability to estimate hot diarrhea, you know, amounts? Maybe it was 3 months.
I mean, it's probably cold, so it's like steam coming off of her. You know what I mean? And maybe they just like saw the different meals. They were like, oh, okay.
This happened near you. I mean, did you know that?
No.
It was,
I assume New York. But
no, no, no. It was L.A., it was Hollywood. It was very close to where you live.
Was it like was it premeditated? I'm crying.
He's been doing several.
It's unclear. He did receive a couple months of psychiatric treatments.
I'm like gonna throw.
He's done things before. The full story is she was getting into her car. So not only did the hot diarrhea, you know, get all over her. And this is her quote.
I
was soaked and it was coming off my eyelashes and into my eyes, which is tough. She had just like opened the door and had just sat down in the car.
I thought he pulled her in the middle of the street and then dumped it on her.
No, she had just sat down. For some reason, when I heard it, I thought it was coming from like he was like on top of a building. That just seemed like the way that if you're going to pour hot diarrhea, you know, go all out. But no, she was just sitting into her car and he kind of dumped it on her head there. So, I mean, that ruins the car, too. You can't come back from that.
No, you got to get a new car. I mean, this happens in prisons. It's like a prison thing where they'll throw a cup of their stuff at a guard. And it's like, oh my, like, what kind of disease do I have now? It's a serious thing. I'm glad the woman is okay. I'm obsessed with this story because of the word hot. Not warm. Not like room temp. Wasn't cold diarrhea. It was the worst kind of diarrhea, hot diarrhea.
Well, it's possible. I thought about this. He, you know, could have cooked it up somewhere, like over a stove or, you know, a microwave or something like that. Or it's just hot enough in L.A. that the bucket's out on the sidewalk all day, every day, especially if it's a month's worth. He's carrying it around. That thing's in the sun. That's enough to make it hot.
Why
you know?
Didn't he do
that? I like to think.
You know what I mean? Like,
like
when you play tennis and it's hot out, they always say, you know, on TV, it's like feels like 110 degrees on a tennis court. So if you're leaving a bucket out in the sun for days on end and it's during the middle of the summer.
I don't think so. I think he must have had some sort of like, I think he had like a last minute like, oh, I've got one more in me and now it's time. I don't think he chose this woman. I think it was just like, this bucket's not getting any hotter. I got to dump it on a woman. I got to dump it on somebody.
It is sad. The interview was kind of heartbreaking. I mean, she has PTSD from it. She says it changed her life. She's had, you know, trouble getting over it, which I could imagine. Like, imagine if you were...
Would you ever leave your house again if someone dumped a bucket of diarrhea? Think about how mad I was that we had to do this on a Wednesday instead of a Tuesday. Imagine if someone came in here and dumped a bucket of hot diarrhea on my head.
I think...
How mad I would be. You think we do a season 3? You think it'd be an episode 51? If someone dumped... If I was leaving here tonight on my way home and someone dumped a bucket of hot diarrhea on my head... I would never do a podcast ever. I wouldn't touch a microphone again. Think about all
the ways.
What
if it's the new head of Viacom waiting for us at the door just dumps that bucket on you?
I mean, even worse. Even like, would it be? Is it scarier for a homeless man to do it or like
yes.
the highest executive in all the land? You know what I mean? Like, what would be worse? Would it be like your boss, your boss's boss, throwing hot diarrhea on you, or a homeless person?
Well, my boss's 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 boss would be the commissioner. That would be scary.
If Roger Goodell threw a bucket of hot diarrhea on you, would that be better or worse than a random homeless person?
I think it'd be better because I don't know what would be going into that. There would also be more, you know, money to go after in a lawsuit too. The homeless thing just seems so random and scary. But I think it would tell a lot about you about how you reacted to getting it poured on you. You know what I mean? Like adversity doesn't, you know, it reveals character is what I'm trying to say. I would maybe go at the angle of like, there's no way going outside today or ever again in my life could go any worse than that time when I got, you know, the hot diarrhea dumped on me. So I should go out. I've already experienced the worst and I lived through it.
I would treat it like a you can't do that on television situation. You know what I mean? Like I'm at the Nickelodeon Kids Choice Awards. And I just won.
No one knows that show anymore.
And you get Eric. They know the Kids' Choice Awards. The people get slammed. Erica is about to throw up. It's hilarious. Yeah, you just like you say, I don't know, and a homeless person dumps a bucket of hot diarrhea on your head. That I'm glad she's okay. I hope this homeless person gets the help that he needs to cool down his diarrhea.
Well, she got it. He. This happened actually in the summer, and he was.
Spent
some time in jail and then had a couple months of psychiatric help and evaluation, but then was, you know, out on his own. He's back out on his own now.
I think already. This is more dietary than anything else. I think it's a problem of, you know, there are a lot of homeless people in California. It's a problem we're dealing with, and we need to feed them better and take away their buckets, for crying out loud. Take away their buckets and maybe give them like little buckets. So they could dump a little bit on you, maybe get some on your shoulder. You know what I mean? But they can't go the full shebang. And maybe like buckets that automatically cool down whatever's inside. Because the heat's what's really going to get you. You know, the diarrhea is upsetting, but the hot diarrhea is what makes you never.
Why is this the story that makes you so happy? As I was telling the details of the story and rolling it out, you were rocking back and forth like you were listening to Black Rob in 1999, or as if I was like a preacher, like, you know, telling his congregation.
Dump it on her head like, whoa. Woman diarrhea up like, whoa. I just thought it was hilarious, and every new detail I get, it makes it funnier and funnier, even though it is a very serious thing. Erica, how do you feel?
I'm like sick. I'm actually sick.
Now let's take it down to
Choo-choo.
Diarrheaville. Let's keep going on this story. Any new details? It's time for recommendation station. Oh. Greg, what do you got?
I am going to recommend Marriage Story, the new movie by Noah Baumbach, which is...
That was a Baumbach movie.
Yeah. And watching it, you almost wouldn't know, which is really interesting. I love all his movies. He's probably my favorite. And
what's your favorite movie of his?
That's a good question. I really love Mistress America, which is kind of a slept on one.
I like that one.
I love Meyerowitz, the one with Adam Sandler. I love Francis Ha.
I like Francis Hall.
I think Squid and the Whale, though, is still number one. Now I just went through them all, and I found that's still number one.
Greenberg's
number two. Really, see, underrated. He's got so many. I would say Greenberg, and Squid and the Whale are 1 and 2. Anyways, Marriage Story starring Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson. It's out. It's in theaters, but it's going to be on Netflix in early December. If you wanted to wait, I would recommend seeing it in the theater because it was fantastic. Adam Driver is so good in it. You know, it's a tough story. It starts at the beginning of the end of a marriage, essentially. It's basically the story of a divorce. So that could be tough. I heard some...
Did you go with Emeka?
I did. We sort of joked. I was like, oh, we shouldn't go to this. But if anything, I would say it just makes divorce seem like such a terrible pain in the ass that who would want to go through that? Let's just accept.
Did you ever
what
see?
We have.
Did you ever see Kramer versus Kramer?
I'm joking. I have not seen.
I haven't either. That's like the famous divorce movie that I wonder if how it compares. But I have not. I've not seen either.
But it's a really interesting movie. The supporting actors in it: Alan Alda, Laura Dern, Ray Liotta are all so awesome. Every actor in this movie, it feels like an actor dream, like knocks it out of the park. And it had a different vibe, I think, than almost any Noah Baumbach movie. It was set in L.A., so not New York, or a lot of it's in L.A., and it wasn't as frenetic. I'm sure people will say it's like more mature, but whatever, it was good.
You start recommending something and I'm like, uh-huh, uh-huh. And
oh,
then
no.
And then you just, you cross a line.
I know, it's true.
You do it every time. You're like, this is now making people not want to see this movie or read this book.
It's good.
Yeah. I believe it. I bet it's great. I've heard great things. Erica, do you have anyone to recommend?
There's nothing in my entire career I'm less happy with than the way I recommend things on this show. This is true.
You've been pretty good. Last week was a fiasco.
I mean, the things I recommend are spot on.
Yes.
But I never describe it in the way that I want. But I think this one was fine.
It was at the very end. I was like, "Oh, he's doing it." He like learned from last time.
I'm just saying it was different. It was if I had seen that and not known it was a Noah Baumbach movie, I might not have known. It was just different.
That's cool.
A long time fan, but that's good. Exactly. What
do you think that makes people want to see it more or less?
Probably neither. You know, probably more because people are like,
"You're just wasting everyone's time."
Fuck that guy.
If you're like Adam Driver, Scarlett Johansson, it's a movie about a couple getting divorced and how miserable it looks. It's directed by Noah Baumbach. Supporting actors are amazing. Check it out. See how fast that was?
We could just delete the last minute.
Nope. You're going to live with it. Erica.
Yeah, recommendation? Real quick. My friend.
Hot bucket of.
I was like, literally think I'm going to get sick. Like, I can picture it in. Okay.
I mean, isn't it easy to not picture it?
Picture just a bucket full of curry. You know what I mean?
Right. Or just like room temperature diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
What if I just throw them all over this table? That'd be so gross. But less gross than
it
diarrhea.
Would be a great 50th podcast. Yeah. That we made
right. We kind of need that. We kind of need a big finish.
My friend is doing a pop-up bar in
this is going
Los
poorly.
Angeles. Shut the fuck up, Greg. Seriously. She has a pop-up bar that's a Christmas theme, and it's only open for a month in starting this weekend. And I've been helping her a lot with, you know, the decorating, hiring the painters, and all this kind of stuff. And it's sort of been a labor of love. So if you're in L.A., I think it's a really cool spot. And it's called Santa Baby L.A. It's in Silver Lake area, and it's opening this weekend through, like, I think January 6th.
Well, how would you describe the crowd that they're expecting?
I mean, it's in Silver Lake, so it'll probably be like a little bit of hipstery, but it's very much, you know, like a Christmas lodge feel that has holiday music and the drinks are Christmas sort of themed. And I think it's a really cool idea and I'm really excited for her.
How old's your friend?
32.
Okay. So it's a little young. It's going to be a younger crowd. Go ahead. Go to this spot. What's it called again?
Santa Baby L.A.
Go to Santa Baby L.A. and ask him for the hot diarrhea. I'm going to recommend a book. This is a book I was going through my Kindle and like found an old one that I actually bought this book, read a good review, recommended it to a friend, and he was like, I read the book, it was awesome. And I was like, oh, I haven't read it yet. And he was like, you're kidding. You like told me about this book like it was great.
Hmm.
It's called 10:04, like the time 10:04, like 10:04 by Ben Lerner. It's about an author who kind of finds fame, hits middle age, gets a health scare that he could die at any moment, and at the same time, his friend wants him to have her baby, to donate sperm for the baby. So he's going through a lot of conflicting emotions. It's about fame. It's about mortality. It's about It's about, you know, whether or not you want to have kids or how you want to live on after you die.
What's it called again?
It's called 1004. Like the time 1004 by Ben Lerner, L-E-R-N-E-R. It's kind of like how, you know, like Greg will live on through his children. No one's going to be like, oh, I got to go back and watch this NFL analysis from 2019. But I will live on through my comedy, which will never die because I'm not a Christian comedian. So that's how I recommend my book. Check it out.
I bought that book 3 weeks ago. How random
You're
is that?
Kidding.
In London, yeah, I was
really?
I was looking for a book, and that was the one I settled on. I haven't started reading it yet, though.
It's a quick read. You'll really.
But
enjoy it.
That's pretty random.
It's a short one. It's a quick one. You'll love it.
Your books. I mean, I liked just the Friends one. My dear old friend. What was that called that you recommended? But I really liked Memory Police that you recommended, and then that one. That sounds really cool.
Thank you, Erica.
Just like high five for that.
Remember that note from before?
What, to not talk? You'd be so lucky.
Just talk a little less. Just take it down a notch. And now it's time for...
Whoa, Nelly Furtado, that's a spicy meatball.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.